John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And Jesus says this, "Truly I say to you, he who believes in the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now, before we get to those verses, it's always good to, you know where you've been so you'll have more idea where we're going. In the context of this, Philip had just said, "Lord, show us the Father. And that'd be enough for us." And in Jesus' reply, he says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on the account of the works themselves." And that was the answer to, that's the context right above these verses we read this morning. So Thomas says, "Lord, where are you going?" Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father." And this is a continuation of Jesus' answer to Philip. But he strikes out on his own. He always does. But he strikes out, and it's and in verses 12 through 14, he's all of a sudden talking about prayer. Just kind of it's jarring and to some extent, but once you just kind of settle on it that Jesus isn't just flighty in what he says, you can really get what he says here. So, in the context, Jesus says the Father is revealed in the Son. I just believe this. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. And if you're having trouble with all this, believe my words. Just listen to what I've said and think of all the things I've said. And then he says, and if that isn't enough, and for many, that's enough. You go back and in Jesus' day, that fellow went to arrest Jesus, and he said, "No one." And he went back to the Sanhedrin and said, I didn't arrest him. No one's ever talked like this. For some, that's enough. Others need to see things. In fact, Philip wanted to see things. He wanted a vision. But nevertheless, Jesus says, you've seen me. He who's seen me has seen the Father. And if just listen to the words I've said, and if that isn't enough, the works. Believe on account of the works themselves. And at that, Jesus kind of pulls up and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the words that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." And then he tells us how that's all going to be accomplished. "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And so this showing forth of the Father is going to continue in the prayer life of the church. But let's just go to this little thing here. And I like it. And it's, let's see. I wrote, the Synoptic Gospels quote Jesus. Jesus liked to say truly. I think it's like 25 times in Matthew's gospel and a good hunk in Mark's and another, a little bit less in Luke, but in John's gospel, he says truly more than all the other gospels. But John has it repeat. They're doubled. Jesus says truly, truly. The classic way of saying something like that in the Jewish world would just to say truly. Amen. And usually that amen was in reply to a prayer or an agreement with God in something that God declares he's going to do something. And then all through the Old Testament, the saints would say, amen, Lord, we want you to do that. But Jesus uses, this is unique. I just love this. This is unique to Jesus. You don't find any other person in that era. The scholars will tell you, you know, statements of negative statements are hard to prove, because all you would take is one guy saying it and it would prove. But they don't know of anybody. Jesus said, truly, truly, he doubles it. And the other gospels, I think the other gospels are just trying to, I don't want to say this wrongly. Well, I won't tell you how I feel about it, the doubling. I just think the other gospel writers were trying to clean up Jesus' speech. Because no one said that. Jesus says it. But not only that, it's not so much, but Jesus always used this expression, truly, 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 when he wanted the disciples not to miss something. And by the way, did you know Jesus still talks this way after the resurrection? John chapter, right there at the end, Jesus is talking to Peter, and Jesus says to Peter, truly, truly, you're going to stretch your hands out and go to some place that you know about the resurrection. I kind of like it. Jesus is still saying those two words. By the way, he didn't speak them probably in Greek. He probably spoke them in Aramaic. So that gives us all kinds of room. But Jesus said this, when you have the gospel writer say Jesus says something truly, or in John's gospel, truly, truly, Jesus is wanting the disciples not to miss something that he's getting ready to say. And even after the resurrection, he is saying, truly, truly, Peter. Do you think even now Jesus wants us to not miss things that he's saying to us? And as I thought about that, Jesus really is concerned that we don't miss out on understanding what's important. I think it's a good prayer to pray and say, Lord, don't let me miss stuff. Stop me. And I think as we go from this place, we should look straight ahead and say, Lord, how many years do you have left? Lord, don't let me miss anything because I'm concerned with other stuff or the past or this or that or earning a living. I don't know what concerns us. But Jesus says here, truly, truly. And he's going to tell them something that's important. And this is important, the life of prayer in the church. Now, there may be specific things in your life, he would say, truly, truly. And sometimes he kind of repeats himself in our spirit sometimes. You ever had a repeating? There you go again, Jeff. I want you to do this. And he'll repeat it to us and keep going at us. And so I just think it's a good prayer to pray. Lord Jesus, don't let me miss important things. Okay. So he says, he who believes in me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, let's just clear up this one little thing about greater works. I don't think that necessarily means bigger miracles, although I think maybe that's entailed. I think it's probably something's going to shift. Jesus was the incarnate Word of God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. Did you know he was confined? How could that be? He was in a body. He couldn't be two places at once. But he's being raised on high now to rule the universe from his eternal throne in heaven. And things are going to really expand out. Oh, greater work she shall do. And in this context here, it's the life of prayer. And so, in verse 12, there is an immediate shift to what's going to getting ready to happen that the disciples have really no idea. They're going to look back at these words and understand. But he's now all of a sudden speaking to the future. Verse 12, the works that I do, shall he do. Talking about the believer. Shall he do. Future. Verse 13, greater works than these shall he do. Speaking of the believer. Greater works. He's speaking of those greater works in verse 13. Just right after that, he says, I will do these things. This is all future. Things that Jesus is saying is going to happen right past their time. These future answers to prayer. Their prayers will be answered. And so he's looking off right immediately into the future. Verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Future tense. He's all of a sudden not talking about Philip's question, Lord, show us the Father. He's jumped ahead of that. To the future. He is going to the Father. I'm going. This is in the works, and it will affect the future. I am going. He's packing his bags, as it were. Any of y'all gone on a vacation? I tell you what, the day before Elizabeth and I get to go anywhere, we might as well be gone. We're going. We're packing bags. We're making sure. We call in Ann and say, honey, would you get our mail and that kind of stuff. We are going. Jesus is right now heading to the Father. And everything's going to change in the future because of it. His going to the Father will have an effect that greater things will soon become accomplished. His going will increase the believer's power. Boy. Chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Things are going to change. The believer won't be, these guys are going to be different after that. By the way, can I just interject this? Do you think that maybe our lives should be different from the moment we become a Christian? Things ought to change. And I think we should look around for evidence that there's something different about a Christian. There is something different. I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. All of this is going to happen in the future, and it will be to their advantage. Greater things are going to come about. The world itself is not, what's going on in Palestine is just going to explode and cover the earth. Don't you think it's right that, I love my kingdom, Lord. What's that hymn? Timothy Dwight prayed it. Oh, he prays for the advancement of God's kingdom. I tell you, I've told you this before. We went to, this is the only, Steve has been to, and I don't want to sound bad, Steve, but I'm kind of jealous. He's been to Palestine. As much as I'm allowed. But Lebeth and I went to Antioch, where it says the disciples went up to Antioch and they preached up there. Paul and Barnabas went up there. Lebeth and I hot-footed it up there. And there's not a lot to see, so don't go. And really don't go now, because that's right on the border between Syria and Turkey. Don't go. Unless the Lord tells you. Then go. But it was something that was marvelous in my eyes. We'd hunted around for Christians. We found a little evangelical church. They weren't meeting there, but the doors were open, and we went in. There was a guy in there. Wasn't there a guy, some fella in there that let us in? And it was a evangelical group that was founded by Koreans. Isn't that great? But they weren't there. So we beat around a little bit in that old historic district there, and we found the Catholic Church. So we knocked on the door, and the priest that was the head of that church right there, and it was a tiny little fellowship. We're talking about Muslim Turkey. He came out and was so nice to us, wasn't he? And you know, my heart went out to him. I tell you what, if you're a little minority, and the only other Christian you could find is, say, someone that you don't really care for much, like a Roman Catholic, or maybe a Church of Christ, or a Baptist, or something, you know, some denomination that you'd kind of wouldn't rub shoulders with in East Texas. But we loved him, didn't we, honey? He loved Jesus. And we stood there and we looked to the west, where that harbor used to be. Now it was all silted up and there was houses there. But he says, you can't see it, but the harbor now has just moved far away. From here, Christianity spread into all the earth. Glory. This can't happen if Jesus stays and is here. If I do not go away, I must go. Greater things will come about. Coming of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. It says this: when he ascended on high, this is talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive, a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And some he gave as apostles, some as prophets, evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This giving of gifts to this great mass of believers is going to change everything. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, there's other spiritual gifts. There's gifts of miracle and mercy. You read them. Anybody that says the gifts of the Spirit are passed away is wrong. Now they say, well, only the miraculous gifts are passed away. Where do they read that? I'd like to know where they read that. Paul didn't divide them out. Did he? Did he have miracles over here and pastors and teachers over here? These passed away, these didn't. It is, I'll just might as well get to it. He who believes in me shall do greater works. It didn't say, you 12, you apostles. It was a general statement. He who believes in me, God's people, great things should be expected among God's people. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it is a fact of history. We don't see very many works of power as in the New Testament. You can't deny that. But to make a doctrine out of that is surely a step too far. In fact, all down through history, we have these little smatters of miracle all across the earth. And indeed, greater works have been accomplished. On every continent in the world, there are believers. What a glory. And they pray, and there are answers. All of this because he goes to the Father. How about this? Not only does this happen in the church among God's people, but it is a greater, these greater works are accomplished in individuals' lives. What is one of the favorite verses Christians love to quote? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. This was Paul's confession. And how many of you have loved that verse? Oh, glory, great things can be done. Individually as well. I remember the first time, I thought of it this morning, the first time I ever heard some believer quote this. Now y'all aren't going to like it. But it was during football. There's an African-American fella there on our football team, and he loved God, and I wish I knew where he was. And he would just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what he cared about at the time, and he wanted to excel at it, and he had his goal, and who was he believing on to do those things? Jesus, and I loved him for it. I just looked at him with great awe. And I don't think it was mere religiosity. He was really hanging on to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things is a big old thing. All of this because I go to the Father. Everything's turning. Everything is shifting. The life of prayer, again, is being talked about. We're back to this, the specifics here. He who believes in me is how this text begins. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes, a believing one, can ask. I will do it. Sometimes I wonder, they talk about, well, it just shows you the writers of the New Testament were full of faith. They weren't hedging their bets here. Those who believe in me shall do greater works than I do. He who believes in me, that one, that believing one will do greater works than I do. Because I go to the Father. He will pray in my name. This, if you want to just know, John 14, there's a cluster of them. Pray about the name of Jesus, the church in the name of Jesus. And you can look them up if you want to. John 14, verse 26. John 15, verse 16. John 16, verse 23 and verse 24. There's just a cluster. This new thing has begun. In fact, it says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive that your joy may be full. This is a new thing in the earth. Every believer can take this up. Again, it doesn't say every apostle. Everybody living from the period of 33 AD to when miracles ceased, Steve. Some other period. You see, I want you to know, I know some brethren that believe this doctrine about miracles have ceased, and I love them. But it's a step too far. They're just trying to hedge the bets. They've got motivations. But the point is, he who believes and prays in my name, this new thing in the earth, when men and women, little children, can pray in the name of Jesus. We can pray in the name of Jesus in far off East Texas. If you think Antioch is out of the way, Nacogdoches is more out. Just wait until I-69 comes through or whatever it is. Maybe we won't be out of the way. But the point is, if we pray in His name, great works can be done. And it's a new thing. And when God answers, isn't it not a joy when He does? That your joy may be full. God wants us happy. And part of that happiness is the life of a supernatural exchange in heaven. You know why Christians are often very sad? Because we don't see it. We're not aware of it. And it may be happening and our eyes are blind to it, something or other. But the very fact that there's this exchange between God's people and the Father, and His hears His people praying in the name of His Son, joy should come about. And it doesn't, once, one of the reasons we don't have, listen, I know of people that were full of joy, and I'm telling you the reason they were full of joy is they saw Jesus everywhere in their life. They saw His presence everywhere. They saw His presence. In fact, they looked often, they were praying about so-and-so, and they had joy about that so-and-so getting saved. Or they was just joy. That your joy may be full. I better hurry. What's it mean to pray in Jesus' name? As His representative, this thing is spread. Every individual member of Christ's church can pray in Jesus' name. You can pull down mountains and cast them right into the sea. If you say, well, no one's done that yet, okay, well, I won't answer. But listen, as His representatives in the earth, we can pray. Did you know they're going to be taking a census here pretty soon? It's been a big deal. And everybody is going to have someone knock on their door. Who lives here? And they have a list of questions. That person is a representative of the federal government. I'm going to slam the door. No, I'm not. I don't know what I'll do. I don't think I answered in the last time, did I? Well, Lebeth didn't get the question, so I guess I didn't. Scratch that. We as believers pray in His name. We are His representative on the earth. Just as Jesus looked up to the Father standing before Lazarus' grave, we look up to the Father every day in our prayer life. Isn't that a glory? We pray for His sake. We pray for one motivation, hopefully, that His kingdom would grow. His interest would grow. His kingdom would expand through all the earth. That's what it means to pray in His name. We pray in His name in the sense that we are in harmony with Him. There's no discord between Jesus' will and our will. So we're making this increasingly more difficult, filling this word, this phrase up, in His name. This is a very involved, simple phrase, but to do it isn't just uttering words, is it? We are as His representatives. When we pray, are we praying as His representative? When we pray, are we praying for the sake of His kingdom, for the increase of His kingdom, that His interest to be expanded? Are we in harmony with the... Now, this is the hard one, the harmony part. The last few weeks, we've talked about how the church can be so... These disciples were so ill-informed. I mean, they were informed, but they just didn't understand. Remember when John and his brother said, "Lord..." I don't know where it was, but they were standing somewhere and they looked out at a little town and they said, "Should we call fire down on them?" Do you remember that? Do y'all remember that? If they'd have done it, fire would not have fallen because they were not praying in harmony with God's will. That's part of praying in His name. And we are to pray in His name as Christ's simple followers. All of us have this great potential. And this showing forth, this doing works, these greater works, it really, if you really got it, it's a matter of our prayer life. And by the way, the disciples, God's people in the earth, are to do nothing in their own name. Is there some of this in our prayers sometime? Are our prayers mixtures? Lord, I really want to have God's kingdom come, especially on Sunday morning in the 10 o'clock hour. Why would I pray like that? Could there be a mixture on that? You darn tootin' there could. We can pray for things. We could use the words, "And in Your name we pray," but in all actuality be praying, not praying in His name. The saying of the word Jesus at the end of it does not mean you've prayed in Jesus' name. Isn't that a terrible truth to say? This life of prayer has a great goal, that the Father may be magnified in the Son. Jesus is still really answering Philip's question. Show us the Father. The church is, this could mean is that there is a continued showing of the Father as the churches pray in the name of Jesus. There's this continual revelation of God the Father in the earth. You want God to be magnified? That's what it says, that you may be glorified. That the Father may be glorified. Where is it? 13. In order that the Father be glorified in the Son. This is the purpose of prayer, the answering of prayer. If you ask, verse 14. Now this is we just pass over it because it's repetitive a little bit. But it's not completely repetitive. You look. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now what that means is that Jesus is someone that can be prayed to. Jesus himself, not just the Father, but but Jesus himself. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. Well, I proved it to you just then. I just quoted verse 14. But I'll give you another one. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, just a touch here. This is high what the theologians call Christology. This is Jesus is putting himself as someone who to be prayed to. We don't, now as far as biblical, the Bible is concerned, no man is to be prayed to. When Peter fell down in front of that angel, what did that angel say to him? Don't do that, Peter. John, that's right. Well, John, thank you, Steve. The angel said, don't do that. We are not to pray to Mary, to angels, to any human being. We pray to the Son. And Jesus puts himself right there. If you ask me anything in my name, and that fills up the meaning of the word in my name. He's not asking us, Lord, to say these words. Lord Jesus, would you do so and so? And I pray in Jesus' name. That isn't it. This idea of Jesus' name is full of meaning. And we mentioned it just a while ago. It's very, and he says, I will do it. The prayers of the saints that are under the altar, they pray. And what is the result of that? The unleashing of answers. I have it, and it's a little plaque in my little study. And it says about that old saint, my prayers are constantly being answered. Who said it?
Steelers.
Good. Constantly. They are constantly coming. You know why answers were constantly coming to Mueller? He was constantly asking. And he was asking in Jesus' name. He'd cleared out all the rubble of self-seeking and all other things. And answers came. What a glory. But last of all, before we get there, you know what the last prayer of the Bible is? To who it was prayed to? To Jesus. Lord, come quickly. It's kind of good, isn't it? Can we pray to Jesus? Yes, we can. Can we pray to the Father? Of course we can. Can we ask the Holy Spirit? Yes, we can. Now, in a few days, everything would change because Jesus goes to the Father. Having died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross, and taken his blood and come into heaven, and that blood and that sacrifice was accepted by God the Father, out of that comes the casting forth of the Holy Spirit, comes into all believers. He says, we're going to get to it in these verses coming up, but everything's going to change. Now look, I'm going to close with this. Christianity is a supernatural religion. And as much as this is lacking in my own life, Lord, change it. May there be something about you and I as believers that's outside of this world. And that the life in the heavens and on the throne of God being given to his people. Why? Because they pray. Now, does it make sense? begins to make sense. Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, and this is a point blank, you cannot miss statement, I will do it. It's a conditional statement. It's all conditional if you ask in his name. But if you do, if you can get that through that, he will do it. All right. Father, we know we're on holy ground as we consider your Son. This much we're aware of. Amen.